Psalm 146, this is in the New King James Bible. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God.
Who made man heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever.
Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, the Lord gives freedom to the prisoners.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind, the Lord raises those who are bowed down, the Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turns upside down.
The Lord shall reign forever. Your God of the signs to all generations.
Praise the Lord. Okay. Last week, those of you who were here, remember we looked at Psalm 145 as an explication, a fairly long for a psalm, dwelling on the covenant of grace in Jesus, the one who bought it for us, who applies it to us and is our King in this covenant of grace. In 146, we look at a little more particular one aspect of it. We look at Jesus a little more closely as we look at Psalm 146. Now, in the New King James Bible, it's got a heading which is not scriptural, the happiness of those whose help is Yahweh or Jehovah, the covenant name of God. Now, I want to digress just for a moment. I'm going to help you all avoid sin in your life. You see the first little bit there, first three words of the psalm, praise the Lord. And you see the last three words of the psalm, praise the Lord. How many of you know Hebrew and know how to say this in Hebrew? One, two, three, four, five. Okay. This in Hebrew is hallelujah. So, don't go around saying hallelujah when something happens because you're saying praise Jehovah. And we do not wish to take the Lord's name in vain, do we? So let's be careful as we use these terms and understand what it is we're saying. Hallelujah is praise Jehovah, the covenant God. Now the psalm begins and ends that way, which pretty much sets the tone for what the psalm's meant to convey. What the tone of the psalm is, it's praise for Jehovah. Praise to the God of the covenant. It begins quite clearly, praise Jehovah, O my soul. While I live, I will praise Jehovah. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. This, of course, is a good thing for all of us to sing. This is a good thing for all of us to pray and for all of us to remember to praise the covenant God as long as we are ourselves. Because He's the one who gives us our life. He's the one who's preserved us from death. But more to the point, more than that, remembering the context, looking before and after the psalm. He's also the God of the covenant who's given us our salvation. Now, as we look down through here, you all have probably heard or read 146, and you think of it in the context again, as most of us grew up thinking. The context of the Jewish commonwealth and what this would have meant to the Jew. We need to remember that the Jew would have read this the same way we did, looking to the God of the covenant. For songs of the covenant, looking for the coming Redeemer when we're looking at the Redeemer who has come. But the concept would be the same. The idea that the Jews lived in a context of works righteousness is just false. It's not right. The godly Jew, the redeemed Jew, lived in the same context of grace that we do. Then remember, what was it that the Hebrew, the Jew, the Israelite, the person of God, all the way from Genesis 3:15, what were they looking for? What were they putting their trust in? They were looking for the promised Redeemer, the one who would come to save mankind from his sin. That's what they were looking for, not for their own salvation and their own might. Seems like I've gone a long way and I haven't gotten anywhere yet. But all the rest of this is going to fall into place real quick. What was the godly Jew looking for? The godly Israelite, the godly Hebrew. Well, it starts right out. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. Remember in Genesis, it was the seed of the woman that was to come to redeem mankind. People think that the Hebrew, the Jew, was looking for a Messiah. Remember when Jesus came, they were looking for a king. But here they were told specifically not to put their trust in princes, not to look for a son of man, not to look for somebody worldly to save them. Because his spirit departs. He returns to his earth on that very day. His plans perish. If you want an eternal salvation, you need an eternal Savior. You need an eternal covenant. Rather than looking to the son of man, who is the son of woman, the seed of the woman, going to be? In verse 5 and on, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in Yahweh, or Jehovah, his God. Salvation is based in the power of God. And here, the next few verses, we see he made the heaven and the earth, the seas and all that is in them. He has power, but more than that, he has sovereignty. He is the king of all things. He has the power, ethically, to save man as well. He's one who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind, raises those who are bowed down. When we read this today, how many people said, I've heard that before? How many of you thought that? Nobody. Wow. Okay, one. I know, y'all are just too shy to raise. This is almost word for word, the passage from Isaiah that Jesus used to announce the start of his ministry. Anybody notice that? What is the announcement here? Look at the psalm, how it starts, how it flows. Praise the God of the covenant. While I live, I will praise him. Don't trust men. Don't look for worldly salvation. Look to God and for all the things he does. And then here's the same words that Jesus uses to announce his ministry. This psalm is so much a psalm of Jesus Christ. You don't think that the people in the hearing of Jesus, when he said that, they heard Isaiah. You don't think they heard this too? This announcing the salvation of the covenant God for the people of God. He opens the eyes of the blind. We were just looking a couple weeks ago in one of the Gospels, and I'll insult Phil by not remembering which one, when Jesus opened the eyes of the blind man as a sign of his prophet status. He raises up those who are bowed down. He loves the righteous. He watches over the strangers and relieves the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. Have you noticed whenever there's a promise of covenant grace, there's always the threat of covenant punishment for those who reject the covenant? In the Psalms and the Gospels, all the way through, those two always go together. Now, this covenant that was promised, again, the restatement of the promise has happened. And now in verse 10, the psalmist says, the Lord or Yahweh or Jehovah shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Our God is a great God. He has promised wonderful things. He has done wonderful things. And he's purchased your salvation if you trust in him. We'll sing the praise of God now, and we'll sing Psalm 146a.